بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما، أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، أما بعد. Respected brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be continuing in the lessons on the makharij al-huruf, or the emission points of the letters. And we spoke previously about the letters of the throat, and the letters of the tongue, and the letters of the lips, and the letters of the khayshum, or the nasal cavity. And the another makhraj that we have not spoken about yet is called the jawf. The jawf. And jawf in Arabic, it means the hollow cavity, or the cave. And what is being referred to here is the space inside of the mouth, between the tongue and the roof of the mouth. This is called the jawf. And the letters that are pronounced from the jawf, the hollow cavity, the cave, are called the mud letters. The mud. Mud in Arabic, it means to make something long, to extend. When you extend the sound of a letter. And the study of the mudud is very, very important in tajweed. Because elongating or shortening any of the vowels in Arabic changes the meaning of the words. It could change it to a totally different word, or it could change, add a meaning that was not intended. And so every letter has to be pronounced with the right number of beats. Normally any vowel sign, we have one beat for each letter. They should all be pronounced with one beat. Not 1.2 beats, not 0.8 beats. It has to be precisely one beat for each letter. And if it's a mud letter, like an alif, waw, or ya, these are the mudud letters, the mud letters. Alif with a fatha before it, like ma, or a waw with a dhamma before it, like hu, or the ya with a kasra before it, like he, then it should be exactly two beats, not three, not one and a half. So these, it's very important to learn when to elongate, when to shorten, and to make each of the letters the same number of beats. So not to make one letter 1.2 beats, and the next letter 1 beat, the next letter 0.8 beats. Each letter should be weighed carefully, so they all are pronounced with the same pace of recitation. And it's not allowed to, for example, if we say ta, sa, ja, all of them should be pronounced the same. Ta, sa, ja. Not ta, sa, ja. Ta, sa, ja. They should all be pronounced the same length. Ba, bi, bu. Even the different harakas, they should be pronounced the same way. Ba, bi, bu. Not elongating one. Ba, bi, bu. Then that would have changed it into a vowel, a mud after it. When you have a sukun on a letter, sukun, you'll hear a slight difference in the pronunciation of the letters, because some of them are strong letters, shidda, some of them are weak letters, rikhwa. Remember the strong letters, you pronounce them quickly or long time? How do we pronounce a strong letter? Very quickly, right? Qa, da, they're pronounced very quickly. The soft letters, they take your time to pronounce them. For example, is, or walam, the bod, the bod is a soft letter. Ilb, dal is a strong letter. Ahad, ahad, kasab, these are strong letters, the ba, the dal. So the way that you pronounce them with a sukun, you have a slight difference in their pronunciation. So the mud in Arabic, it means to extend something and pronounce it longer. So two beats, if you have a fatha, if you have an alif, waw, or ya. It's one beat if you have a fatha, kasra, or dhamma. When you have a mud, an alif, waw, or ya, then with the appropriate vowel before it, then you make it two beats. Sometimes it'll be more than two beats. We have certain places in the Quran where you make it even more than two beats. These are special rules that we have to learn separately their special places where we elongate. For example, when we say walamin, this is not 2 beats. How many? 6 beats. Very good. This is a special kind of elongation which has a name for it. It's called mad lazim. That one we have to learn. We have to learn each of these elongations because there's certain rules when you have one letter followed by another letter, or you have a letter of mud followed by a shadda, or a letter of mud followed by a hamza, or you have the letter ha followed by a hamza, or you have an end of an ayah. All of these different places, they're different types of madood, mud, different types of elongation. So they have to be each learned. Each one, the rule has to be learned for it, so that way you know how long to elongate it in those places. You can take some help, of course, by listening to a good recitation of the Quran. So then you can pay attention, and you'll see that the expert reciters, they will elongate in certain places, and you can try to learn from them, you know, where to elongate. And of course, when you recite with a sheikh, then you can learn these mudud, these elongations, inshallah ta'ala. We'll be going over them, inshallah ta'ala, in this class, inshallah. Also, it's a very, very big, the mudud are learned from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not something that anybody can add and say, it sounds nice to put a mud here. And these are not rules that anybody made up, but actually they're passed down through our noble shuyukh, going back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I learned them from my shuyukh that I studied with in Syria. And of course, they have a connected chain. They've been learning it from their shuyukh all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can even show you the chain of narrators where they heard the Qur'an going directly back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's been preserved very meticulously. And it's a real travesty when you hear sometimes people recite paying no regard to the rules of Madud. So they might try to beautify the Qur'an, and they would really twist it by elongating it just to make it sound nice, but they're elongating in the wrong places. So then it really could affect changes the meanings a lot. Like, for example, we mentioned yesterday, people who say Allahu Akbar, then it means, is Allah the greatest? Instead of Allahu Akbar, Shidda, the strongness of the Hamza. So sometimes people, when they want to beautify the Quran, make it sound nice, they have a good intention, but also they have to do it according to the Sunnah. Right? So, you know, you might hear that being recited in those ways. And this is a type of innovation, bid'ah. You know, when people innovate ways of reciting that weren't done, that were not taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the tajweed, the rules of tajweed, that will be what persists, what Allah will protect and continue. Everything else goes away from straight path. Allah, He preserves His book, He guards His book from any deviations. So the way to learn the madud, the way to learn how to do the madud properly is by sitting down and reciting with a teacher. Now, that's the best way to learn. Because a person, if they check their own recitation, they'll say, I'm doing the mudud correctly. They won't notice they're doing anything wrong. They'll think that they were reciting it correctly. But you really need another person to listen to your recitation. I think I mentioned to you before, I was in a class, and one of the students came and started reciting. And he made many, many mistakes. So the sheikh asked him, didn't you check your recitation? He said, I checked it 10 times, it was perfect before I came to the class. So he said, really, who did you recite to? He said, I recited to myself. So he was reciting to himself. He thought he was reciting it perfectly. Then when he recited to his teacher, he found he had so many mistakes. So a person, when they have a teacher and they recite to that teacher, they hear or they find out where they're making a mistake, and then they can always correct it after that, inshallah ta'ala. So it's very important to learn these rules, and it does take a lot of effort. It might take many years. I personally studied tajweed for 6 years. 6 years, and even then I was still before I received my ijazah or license to teach, I had to recite very extensively every day for several hours the whole Quran, and I still had to learn a lot after 6 years reciting. You know, I spent maybe a few months on Surah Al-Fatiha reciting to the Shaykh. So it does take some effort, but to inculcate these rules, but there's a lot of reward for it, inshallah. You receive a great ajr, great reward, inshallah, for studying the noble tajweed and following in the path of our ulama. How many people spend 20, 25 years to get an MD, to get a dunya degree? People, they spend most of their life, you know, studying to get, what is it, 12 years of grade school, another maybe 8 years to get a master's or PhD or MD, or spend so many years. So also the deen, right? The deen, it deserves that much effort. And the deen is more important. So, you know, it's good to spend effort on these things, and Allah will give a great reward in the Akhirah, inshallah. The mud letters, inshallah, we'll just introduce the mud letters today, and if you'd like to recite a little bit, inshallah. The mud letters are three letters. The mud letters are three. Alif with a fatha before it, waw with a dhamma before it, and ya with a kasra before it. These letters, they're called mud letters. Whenever you have an elongation in Arabic, it has to be one of these three letters. A, E, U. These are the only letters that elongate. If you have, for example, ba, neen, you have the ba, and you have the alif there. So ba, it makes it long. You cannot make it long unless you have one of these three letters. To remember them, the letters of the Jawf, these are the letters of the cave. The waw, ya, and alif. It's all together in the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuhiha. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah says, Nuhiha. The waw, you see how it's elongated with a dhamma before it? He, Nuhi, the ha, with a ya after it, and then the ha, the ha with an alif after it, as if alif, the fatah's before. Nuhiha. Can you say it?
Nuhiha.
Good. Right? What are those letters called?
Mud letters.
Mud letters. What is the makhraj of those letters?
The top of the mouth, between the tongue and the top.
Right. What is that called?
The cave.
The cave or the jawf? Jawf. Jawf, it means the hollow cavity. Very good. Why is it from the cave of the mouth? You should feel it reverberate inside the cave of your mouth. As if when you pronounce it, it's as if when you go to a doctor, you say, ah, right? Well, a dhaneen, ah. See how it's in the cave. Hu, nu, the u sound is coming from the cave. Nu, hi. The he sound is coming from the cave. Ha, the ha is coming from, the alif is coming from the cave of the mouth. So, inshallah, we will cover these rules in the coming lessons, inshallah, on the letters of the Jawf, the mud letters, inshallah. If anybody would like to recite today, maybe we can recite a short surah. Do you have any suggestion? How about Surah An-Nas? Is that easy? There's a mud in the end, right? Surah Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. Right? Some mud. Want to practice that one?
Okay.
Any questions on the mud in general or the letters of the Jawf?
How do you spell Jawf?
In Arabic, Jim, Waw, Fa, Jawf.
Jawf.
Yeah. Inshallah. Okay. Any other question? You want to recite?
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس.
رجيم. You try to make it shidda? Rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Yes, good.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas.
Good.
Malikin nas.
Yes.
Ilahin nas. Min sharril waswas.
Okay, ikhfa of the noon here. Min sharril.
من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس
من الجنة hold the air in من الجنة والناس
من الجنة والناس
والناس
من الجنة والناس.
Good. Very good. Jazakallahu khaira. Very good. Anybody would like to recite over here? Or Brother Abdullah, would you like to recite? You want to come back? You want us to come back to you in the end?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Brother Ashraf, would you like
to?
Okay, shadda on the noon. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas.
Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Malikin nas. Ilahin nas. Min sharril waswasil khannas.
Sharril waswas.
Sharril waswas. الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
Okay. No problem. Inshallah. No problem.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس.
ناس.
ملك الناس.
كسر عن الان ملك
ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس
جنة شدها
من الجنة والناس.
Very good. ما شاء الله. جزاك الله خيرا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس.
Okay, can you naw? See the O sound? Try to make it thinner. Try to smile. Nas.
Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas.
Yes, good.
Malikin nas.
Yes, that's
it. Ilahin nas. Min sharril waswasil khannas.
Khannas.
Khannas. Khannas.
الذي
الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
Okay. من الجنة ما مستن
من الجنة والناس
والناس
والناس.
Remember the ghunna we learned? The shadda on the ghunna.
والناس
والناس
والناس.
Very good. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan. It's getting better, inshallah. Alhamdulillah.
قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس.
خناس.
خناس. الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
Very good. May I reward you that?
بسم الله الرحمن
قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس القناس
خناس
من شر الوسواس القناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس
والناس
من الجنة والناس.
جزاكم الله خيرا. Any questions on the letters of the Jawf? Oh, Ayman. Read? No? Inshallah. Yes? Oh, yes, Brother Abdullah. Say this. Last but not least.
قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس.
نعم. شد على النون والغنة.
إله الناس. من شر الوسواس الخناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
أحسنت. جزاك الله خيرا. So any questions on the letters of the Jawf? We didn't really cover each letter yet, but just in general we talked about how these letters of the Jawf, they're the elongation letters, the mud letters. Any questions about them? Notice not the wow, alif, and ya are not always from the Jawf. Wow is from the lips if it has a vowel on it. It's only from the Jawf when it has a dhamma before it, like oo, like nu, right? Not when it has a sukun, but when it has a vowel on it, comes from the lips. Like waswas, is waswas the wow from the Jawf? From the lips, right? Only when it has a sukun and the letter before it has a dhamma, then it's from the Jawf, like nu. Same thing with the hi, the ya. The ya, do you know where it's normally pronounced from? It has a vowel, like iyaka.
The middle of the tongue.
Good, you remember that. That's right. Ya, like ya ayyuhan ladina amanu. Ya comes from the middle of the tongue. And but only when it has a sukun with a kasra before it. Like fi, then it comes from Jawf. And the last letter, the anif, the hamza, where, if you just say, like, for example, an-amta, yes.
From the throat.
The throat. What part of the throat?
The bottom.
Bottom of the throat. Very good. Aqsal haq. The bottom of the throat. Like a'udhu. A'udhu. It's not coming from the Jawf. It's coming from here. But when you have the alif with a fatha before it and it has a sukun, like for example, ha. When you say ha, then it's coming from the Jawf. Inshallah ta'ala. So these are the three letters, inshallah, from the Jawf. Inshallah, and we'll learn the rules of the mud, inshallah. Where do we elongate more, inshallah, in the coming durus, inshallah ta'ala. Any other questions on these letters? Jazakum Allah khairah. May Allah accept from all of you, inshallah. Bless you with beneficial knowledge. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil alamin.